So it's not so much like I'm going to go do a job. It's like, how am I bringing my value to the world that other people can reciprocate with me? And then finally, something that you love to do. Ideally, it should be something that fires you up, that gets you excited. Not 100% every day, mm-hmm. but something that when you look at the, you step back a little bit, look at it and say, wow, this is, I get excited about this. The time flies by. I get into flow. It's fun. Mm-hmm. People pay me for it, or we can get paid for it. It's something that's really, really needed out there that's going to help the world get better in some way. And it's something I'm good at. And having those together, I think that's probably one of the best definitions of the sweet spot.
The Ripple Leader Podcast, a resource for leaders who want to cultivate clear and confident leadership skills that ripple out to leaders around them and throughout the organizations they lead. Each episode, we gain actionable insight from Chris Hutchinson, veteran organizational advisor, CEO of the Trebuchet Group, and author of Ripple, Field Manual for Leadership That Works. So Chris, a couple weeks ago, I was having coffee with a new acquaintance, but really brilliant young lady in a Fortune 500 company, ending her role in that organization, senior leader, and was looking for her next role. And you know, I'm asking, like, you know, what are you looking for in this next role? What would success look like? There wasn't a absolute need, so she could really kind of step back and survey. Mm-hmm. And I was intrigued that one of the things that she said that she was looking for is, I just want some place where I'm thriving in my sweet spot. And that really, I mean, it was like,
it's just the goal that our team came up with for this year. But other than that, why did that resonate?
Just like, are you reading my mail? Are you like, you know, because that, I mean, it's even tied to, you know, the mission of why TG exists is, you know, like the ripple, as it were, that Trebuchet Group is looking to make in the world mm-hmm. is to help people thrive and work.
Absolutely.
And so this whole idea of thriving is intriguing. Obviously it was on her radar. And so I, you know, think it'd be interesting to say, how do you actually help people thrive at work? How do mm-hmm. you get to that place where it isn't this place where we're quiet quitting or rage quitting or phoning it, whatever, all the things that are kind of swirling around mm-hmm. that are indicative of what? People not thriving at work. Yeah. And so we've talked about this for years, but if we're going to spend most of our waking hours committed to doing something, mm-hmm. man, wouldn't that be awesome if it was a place that we were thriving and just excited about being at? And we experience that within our own team, mm-hmm. you know, like mm-hmm. we wake up every day and we're like, I can't believe, really? Like, this is what we get to do,
yeah,
you know, and we get to see the aha moments, but mm-hmm. That should not just be limited to us. And it is not something that we just have.
Yeah.
The limit on. That
is a totally great question to kick us off. And I want to put a qualifier in this because I think I have heard even from our team that at times, you know, like, find your passion, and if you're doing anything less than what lights you up 100%, you're a failure. I don't think that's what we're talking about here. We're not talking about you need to achieve your dream or you're not ever going to achieve it. I do think there's a sweet spot that's a convergence of a couple things. And there's a really cool sort of concept from Japan. It's called Ikigai, and it essentially means that you're centered on your reason for being. Now, I think it's okay not to be right smack in the center and discovering things and trying things out, what works, what's not. I've got teenagers who are like, I have no clue, Dad. I don't know. And so it's like, great, let's go explore these. I'd love the four areas that essentially, it's an overlapping Venn diagram, you know, all four circles, like, all overlap in the middle, mm-hmm. and that would be the ideal state, but it's not a requirement. It's a potential goal. And I think those things basically are what you love and what the world needs, what you can get paid for, and what you're good at. So all those components are good. So knowing what you're good at, and that's something you can learn and get better at. A lot of times people don't realize what they're good at because it's easy for them and they wonder why other people struggle. What the world needs is what is the thing out there that is either calling to you or a frustration that you have that you think the world could be better. That's a good hint that might be a place that could satisfy what the world needs. Doing what you get paid for, that's kind of obvious. You know, there's a lot of people who do wonderful things that they love to do, that they're really good at. They play guitar. They're never going to cut an album. They're never going to do that. That's totally fine.
Yep.
I think at work really should be something you get paid for. So that there's that also sort of says there's value in other people that they're willing to share with you.
Yeah.
So it's not so much like I'm going to go do a job. It's like, how am I bringing my value to the world that other people can reciprocate with me? And then finally, something that you love to do. Ideally, it should be something that fires you up, that gets you excited. Not 100% every day, mm-hmm. but something that when you look at the... You step back a little bit, look at it and say, wow, this is, I get excited about this. The time flies by. I get into flow. It's fun. Mm-hmm. People pay me for it, or we can get paid for it. It's something that's really, really needed out there that's going to help the world get better in some way. And it's something I'm good at. And having those together, I think that's probably one of the best definitions of the sweet spot.
Yeah. And it's, and clearly it jogs my mind that when Jim Collins is talking about a hedgehog principle, he's actually kind of pointing to three of those four.
Mm-hmm.
We'll let the listener go like Google those and compare.
Jim's a cool guy.
But this idea of, you know, you can actually articulate what that is. So then that raises another, well, two questions, two places we can kind of go down to is as a leader, and I have people in my organization mm-hmm. who I want to help them find their sweet spot mm-hmm. and be thriving in that because mm-hmm. there's a risk to the organization that if they're not thriving, that increases the probability that they're going to look for some place to thrive and survive
mm-hmm.
if they can't find it in the place they are.
Right.
Like that's human. So how do I help my team members do that? And then how do I, as an individual, go after mm-hmm. discovering my sweet spot?
Yeah. I think it's really good to do it yourself because at least when I learned some of these things about me, it helped me realize that I personally had a lot of blind spots around what I was good at. And the things that, I mean, if somebody said, wow, you're really excited about that. You know, you're really good at this. I tended to downplay it. And some of that's that whole like, oh, I don't want to brag on myself or things. But some of it was, it didn't feel that special to me, frankly, because it was just me being me. And having that outside in perspective of around how are my strengths unique? Where do I have superpowers? And also, heck, where do I have kryptonite? I'm not everything for everybody. And knowing what those places are frequently takes feedback from, say, an assessment that's a good assessment that's not labeling me, but giving me a mirror about part of myself that I'm like, oh, yeah, that's true. And I'm thinking this is no big deal, but this assessment says that's pretty exceptional. That's weird, right? But or a leader, another person that would say, you're great at this. You're awesome at this. And how many times, I don't know if you've done it, where like, oh, come on, no, it's no big deal. Yeah. It's like breathing. Well, yeah, and that's a hint that it's probably something amazing, but why would I think that's special without somebody else's help, some reflection or something where I'm getting feedback in some way?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And there are a couple cool principles and practices inside of Ripple
mm-hmm.
that we could specifically point people to listen to or to that are listening to work through to even kind of help unearth that, to like try to mine for some of those clues, right?
Yeah, I think it really, my knowledge of myself is going to completely influence how much I can harness my powers.
Sure.
If that's it. If I didn't know I have these, I can't use them. So the three pieces we have in this within one of the ripples, really, at the beginning is that self-knowledge of, okay, so where am I amazing? Mm-hmm. So assessments or feedback or something like, these are things I'm great at. These things I'm not so good at. These things are struggling for me. And knowing that, another one is really understanding sort of what matters most to you. So it's not just values like, I love my kids, I won't spend time with them, but, you know, I love them. It's how do you live out what's most important to you? And so that's the best filter, whether it's a team or an individual. You know, if I followed myself around, how would I actually spend time and energy and what would I do about things? And then the last one would be where I'm actually figuring out what's on my course. We call it charting your course. So where am I going? Not I will be a CEO millionaire by the time I'm 32 and then I'm going to, you know, not that kind of thing, but more of what are the elements that I want to in my life for the people I care about, want to achieve, avoid, and preserve. And so that's building on where I am and where I want to go, really with qualitative outcomes, so that then I can say, all right, does that mean I go for this job or that job? Does that mean I stretch myself here or there? I recently saw a little meme. It's like, be brave enough to suck at doing something new. You know, I think that's a great philosophy. And knowing what you're good at and then trying things out, I think is a great way to figure out where am I headed. And when I have that kind of insight to myself, I am way more open to seeing other people, not in contrast to myself. Like, I'm normal. If you're like me, you're normal. If you're not, you're abnormal.
Right.
Instead, I say, I have these strengths and cool course that I'm going. And so I'm confident in that. And I can be very open to a very different course versus like, well, wait, that's not the way I'm going. So that must not be right. Like, hey, what is that course for you? What are your strengths? How are you amazing? Yeah. And what do you care about the most? And I think when we come together that way, it can help me, and it also can help the other person realize it's okay to be different.
Yeah, which that that whole idea of difference, not deficient,
yes,
is key.
Absolutely,
and it's even ringing in my head. You know, when I think about leadership, you know, which people who are reading Ripple, listening to this podcast, you're wanting to be a Ripple leader, and what's a Ripple leader like? But it's someone has a self-knowing, and that why is that important and helpful? It's that we have these archetypes in our culture, in every culture, of what a leader should look like.
Oh yeah, sure.
That actually aren't that helpful.
They can be pretty. They might help one person, but they might not help you.
Yeah, like oh, they've got to be extroverted, and they've got to be charismatic, yep. And actually, I mean, we found over years of working with leaders that the most effective leaders are the ones who have really great self-awareness.
Yes.
Like the delta between who they perceive themselves as and how others perceive them is really small.
Right.
And they, they've worked through that to figure out, hey, I'm great at this. I'm not so great at this. So here's where I need to lean on the team. You know, here's a spot where I am great and I will probably overpower that because it's so easy for me to do.
Right. And but holding back from that to like, what's the optimum use of that strength in the situation that's going to help me and others.
But it's crucial that you do these practices to figure what that is
right.
Because, and I've experienced that in my own career where I didn't have awareness around that. And I actually unintentionally caused unneeded conflict as a result.
Yeah. And that's pretty common, and I think it's also easy. I think unless I have that self-awareness to see, it's not my problem. It's yours.
Yeah.
It's like, well, that person must have a problem. That person must have a problem. It's fun. I don't hear it too often, but there are times when I've had leader conversations and we're talking through a coaching session and they're like, yeah, I'm having a problem with this person and my staff. Really tell me more about it. And they go through the details of the problem and say, I've had the last five people in this position to have this problem. I just cannot figure out what's happening with these people.
The common denominator is...
Well, I usually like, what's the center part of this? And, what can you do about that? Maybe we don't want to talk about that, but like, what's the challenge in this for you?
Right.
And get them back into themselves and thinking about, well, what am I going to do about it? The good part about being irritated about other people is that that's usually an indicator your subconscious is trying to get your awareness.
Yeah.
Like the reason I get upset at people and the house is messy is because I don't like that I make the house messy. Mm-hmm. But I don't see that because I'm a person that's trying to make the house not messy, right? So I don't see that within myself. So there's some neat feedback, and unfortunately it's pretty uncomfortable, yet almost always true for me. Like, that's actually my problem, not their problem. And helping people with where they want to go and what they want to know, I need to know that about myself first.
Yeah. So decide what matters most, chart your own course, know where you're awesome.
Yep.
Anything else you'd say about helping find your sweet spot?
Well, I think it's going to shift over time as you learn. You know, there's things you're going to get good at. There's things that are going to become more or less important to you. It's not like this is a fixed in stone kind of thing.
Right.
So I think giving yourself grace to discover it or not be right in the center for a while.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you're doing something that you're really good at and people pay you for, but you don't really love it. Is there an element in that you could love? Is there a way you could change the place you're doing it so that you could love it more? Is it something that maybe the world doesn't need? Anyway, I think giving yourself permission not to be right smack in the middle and letting that kind of show up and then saying, okay, what do I want to do about that? Will help you and others.
Awesome. Thanks. To help you help your team members figure out where they want to go and how their individual strengths can be utilized to do great things for the team and themselves, grab a copy of Chris's book, Ripple, a field manual for leadership that works. You can find the links to get Ripple as well as a free resource to help you equip those you lead in the show notes of this episode on rippleleader.com. If you found this content helpful, it would mean so much to us if you'd be willing to take 30 seconds to do these three things. Follow the podcast on the platform of your choice, leave a review, and then share a favorite episode with a colleague or a friend. These three things help us create the ripples that we desire to see as well. The Ripple Leader Podcast is a production of the Trebuchet Group. The Trebuchet Group wants a world where everyone is thriving individually and collectively at work. You can find more about the Trebuchet Group at trebuchetgroup.com. I'm co-host Josh Schuler. Thanks for listening.